Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's the holidays. You want to make 2019 a year to remember? Brand new car with the best choices around with people who really do an awesome job at service. That is Tom's Group at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You'll love how you're treated there, and you'll love the product they have. Happy holidays from us to them, and happy holidays from them to all of you. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Now Matta steers it behind the net for Crosby, kicks it to Gensel on the backhand, save made, the rebound, the puck pops up in the air, and it's in, they score! Crosby at the side of the net may have gotten a stick on it, and the Penguins have made it 2-1 with just over a minute to go in this second period as a couple of bodies were in the vicinity, Brian Rust also in there. Gensel put it to the net initially, and the Penguins have their first lead of the night.
Our old friend Josh Getzoff with the call on the Penguins radio network last night. Pens, by the way, have the Minnesota Wild coming up tonight. There is your play-by-play call of the day. Well, there's no doubt that in this particular era of college football, the single most dominant program has been Alabama. And they've been able to win five national championships under Nick Saban. He has six overall, including the one at LSU. Somebody who's been there the entire time, and I don't get a chance to talk enough to, and that is Eli Gold. Eli, welcome. It is great to have you with us, my friend.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm sorry we couldn't roll out a better day for you here in Alabama. This rain has kind of set in. I'm just telling everybody you brought it with you from Pennsylvania.
The last time I was here in 2010, Eli, it was the same kind of day of bad thunderstorms. I mean, it is my fault, and I know.
Well, there's the common denominator, yeah. But no, it's great to have you in our state. It's always, you know, I was telling somebody the other day that whether it's football, basketball, whatever, Alabama and Penn State, you know, we're two of the blue bloods in this sports world, and it's not really a rivalry because we don't play you enough, and we're not geographically linked. But I never forget the respect that the fans on both sides have had for each other's university. That makes Alabama and Penn State in whatever sport one of the great matchups because the fans respect the other school and their players so much.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I've always told people, I said, where have you been treated the best? I said, every time I've been, this has been the fifth time I've been to Tuscaloosa. The other four were for football. I've always told everybody I've never been treated better than treated here. I mean,
well, it's that Southern hospitality, you know.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, people may not realize Alabama football. I was talking about this earlier, how Penn State came in here in 1990, and I was here. Right. And Gene Hollings was the coach, and Penn State won the game 9-0. But then 2 years, Gene won the national title. After they won the national title, though, there was a series of ups and downs until Nick Saban was hired.
15 years worth of yeah, yeah, no national title or anything, not even 17 years.
So when Nick Saban came here, and now we just went through the early signing period, which didn't exist back then, but we just went through the early signing period. What were some of the things that you could tell away with Nick Saban that he wanted to emphasize? He certainly had some good holdovers from Mike Shula, but what could you tell in terms of his emphasis in recruiting early?
Well, there was line play that he wanted to work with. Going back to that time, I mean, we're talking now, what, a dozen, 13 years ago.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, he was emphasizing line play. He was looking for the best players out there. The cupboard was not bare, but it was certainly not a rich cupboard either. So he was looking for good athletes, but I do remember that line play was one of the things that he stressed at that point.
All right, so now you get to this point with this team. I felt that the defensive fronts that he's been able to put up have been among the best. What kind of difference has that made game in and game out to a domino for the whole football team?
Well, you know what it's done? He has been able, I think, Steve, one of the big keys, and you and I both know coaches, thankfully not at our respective universities, but we both know coaches who were stubborn and set in their ways and yep. wouldn't change as the game changed and as the student-athlete and had society changed. And some of those coaches, there's one who comes to mind in the SEC who's no longer in the league because he just never could quite adjust. It was his way, take it or leave it. Well, right. What Nick Saban has done is he is smart enough, confident enough to adjust as the game changes and as the changes in the games required different types of players. And that comes back to your question about the defensive front. When Coach Saban got here, he had success with guys like Terrence Cody. I think you may remember yep. him. He went on, we called him Mount Cody, yep. massive, massive man. You needed a full tank to drive around him. But, you know, went on to play in the NFL. But he could only play on first and second downs. He was too massive a man. Despite being a good athlete, he was not quite quick enough. He was too big to play third down passing situations and the occasional try on a fourth down conversion. And then the problem happened when the other teams started going to this hurry up offense. Well, right. You couldn't substitute in time to get Cody off and bring in a more athletic defensive lineman. So the coach just started reaping better at defensive linemen, as Terrence was, athletes nevertheless. And that has been the backbone, along with obviously an outstanding secondary, which is what Coach Saban himself coaches. That's been the backbone. And if you subscribe, you can get a pretty good look as to why, over the years, his program has been so successful.
Yeah, you and I both know you can't have longevity and long-term success unless you adapt. I mean,
yeah, he's a guy who's 67 years old now, which is not old, but he's not 37, is what I'm getting at. And the way he can relate to 17 and 18 and 19-year-old kids is just believable. You know, he changes, he adapts to social media. He's, you know, all of this stuff that might not be some do. But he has changed with society, and obviously it's paid off, and great recruiting. Again, yesterday they say the number one signing class in America. It's just remarkable to watch it.
Yeah, no, it is remarkable to watch it. That's, for example, you have James Franklin and another great recruiting class, another guy that's been adaptable. But again, you talk about the 17-year-old. You and I both know, Eli, that being around these 18 to 23-year-olds, in a lot of ways, it keeps us young.
It does. It keeps you smiling and laughing sometimes, and it also makes you feel old sometimes. There was one instance when I was talking about something. I forget what it was, and it was just something that, to me, was, you know, very much a part of American culture. And a bunch of the kids were looking at me like I had horns on my head. They had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, "You've never heard of such and such." And they said, "No, Mr. Eli." They'll call me Mr. Eli. "No, Mr. Eli, we've never heard of him." I said, "Oh, my Lord, I'm getting old." So it keeps you young, but it also brings in the focus exactly where chronologically.
Well, it's Jack Hamm. We were just talking on the phone. And Jack Hamm and I, it made a reference to me about Jimmy Durante, and I stopped him and I said, "You do know we're the only two people who know who he is."
Yeah, you know, I'll say something on the air and my producer will pop into my ear. I said at one point, somebody got on a field, I forget what it was, what the circumstance, it doesn't matter. And I said, "Folks, what I did say was, he's walking away like Walter Brennan in The Real McCoys." But, and then I stopped and I said, and those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you can Google it.
You know what's bad about that? Is that you could say it to me and I know what you mean.
Exactly, exactly. And to me, it just came right out because that was, to me, a great point of reference. He looked like Walter Brennan, Hobble TV show. But then I added in, and those of you who don't know what the heck I'm talking about, you can Google it. But life changes, and you have to keep up with those changes, and that's what Nick Saban has done, as have other very successful coaches over the years.
Okay. To ask you about Hurts, it's one thing for the outside world to assume certain things. So they assume that Jalen Hurts isn't the starter, he'll transfer. Or the assumption Jalen Hurts will play four games and then he'll transfer. Yet he sticks it out all the way through, and when Nick Saban needed him, he stepped in there and played like Jalen Hurts. What does that tell us about the character of the young man, Eli?
Well, it tells you the world. There's no magic answer here. What you see is what you get. He is the nicest young man. He and Tua both are young men. You know, hello, Mr. Gold. Hello, Mr. Gold. You know, they're always greeting you. Hey, how you doing? You know, nice guys, good people, happy to do stuff for others. And obviously, with all of that talk that you alluded to, and we have seen others from other teams up in midseason and you know, go elsewhere, that's not the way Jalen was taught. His daddy is a coach. He respects what the team is all about. And he just, you know, stayed put. And he's a wonderful guy. And he prepared like he was going to start every single game. So when the call did come, because Tua obviously was banged up and not playing his best against Georgia, you know, Jalen just stepped in. And but again, remember, here's a guy, we're not talking your basic backup quarterback here. I mean, this right. is not chopped liver. This is not a guy right. who comes in on the rarest of occasions. This man is 26-2 as a starter at Alabama. He has led the team to two championship games, you know, one national title, and you know, so we're not talking the kid who comes in and plays, you know, a mop-up role after you're up by 50 against Shippensburg State or something. We're right. talking a guy who's spectacular in his own right. So it's a unique situation, but Jalen's just a magnificent young man. He and Tua both, all the support that you're seeing them give each other, that's not phony, that's not theatrics, that's not for the benefit of the TV cameras. That's how these guys genuinely are. Both are wonderful, wonderful young.
Yeah, and that's, and Penn State had a situation like that here with Trace McSorley and Tommy Stevens. McSorley, of course, has had a great career at Penn State. Stevens is very talented, and everyone, there was an assumption made that he was going to transfer out. Never did, and Stevens has now put himself in a position to be the starter potentially next year.
Sure.
But you know, so, I mean, you see guys like that. You know, it goes back, you talk about the old days. In the old days, that's how it would have happened, where guys waited their turn and were paid for things.
But, of course, in this day and age, Steve, you know, it's instant gratification, the demand for that. Yeah. And then look at the young man at Clemson. And I know nothing about his situation. This is not an indictment of him at all. Just looking at the midseason. And then the quarterback gets hurt, and he's out for the year. And it would have been his job again.
Yeah.
But he was gone. And I'm not, again, that's not your point. It's just relaying the fact and just to stay. And of course, Nick Saban used him well because of the fact that Alabama was up by 20 and 30 and 40 points virtually every game. Jalen played just about half of every game. Maybe a little bit less, but just about half of most every game. So, again, it wasn't the classic backup quarterback scenario. It was a little different and was handled well by the coach and handled very well by two outstanding.
I have to ask you about Tua, because obviously he comes into the national championship game, and you'd see it. I mean, we talked before about, you see this guy in practice, and like, wow.
Yeah,
what makes him a special player where you can just tell whether it's footwork, delivery, attitude? Is it all of that, Eli?
Well, it's that. I think it's his ability to see the field.
Yeah.
I mean, he's running like crazy, and he you know, he'll be running to his left, looking to his left, and he'll throw back to his right. Or like the deal last year, again, you know, with Devontae Smith to win the national championship game. I mean, looking off the secondary, looking right, and then at the last second, flicking it down the left side. I mean, like an NFL veteran, and this guy was a freshman in college. He is gifted. He is gifted. So that's the bottom line. He has magnificent skills. But you're right. We'll see him do stuff on the practice field. I'll watch the occasional practice, like on Thursdays of each week during the regular season when I'm doing the coach's talk show. I'll swing by beforehand, and you'll watch him do stuff, and you just shake your head, and you say, "How does a human being do that?" And right. And you know, and what that has also done, and not that you've asked, but I'll interject here. What that has also done is taken the one area of concern for Alabama going into the season, which was the talent but inexperience of the secondary.
Right.
And then every day, now, of course, now we're, what, 13 games, and so they're not true freshmen anymore. But every single day in practice, those very talented newcomers, freshmen, junior college transfers, those very talented guys who had virtually no experience at this level were working every single day against what was arguably one of the top offenses in America. They had to stop Jerry Jeudy and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Ruggs and deal with Tua and deal with Jalen Hurts. And that helped that secondary really improve markedly and get a lot more experience, and that's one of the big things that folks were kind of concerned about going in that turned out not to really be a problem went on.
And then finally, Eli, how does that come into play with what you're about to see in Kyler Murray in Oklahoma, the fact that that secondary has been tested 4 days a week by Tua and by Jalen? You know, obviously Murray's going to be a great test, but how much has that secondary been honed by 4 days a week of Tua and Jalen?
Well, you know, I'm looking at it through crimson and white glasses. If you get Toby Rowland, our counterpart at Oklahoma, on the air, who looks at it through crimson and cream-colored glasses, he will obviously brag, as he rightfully should, on that spectacular offense. I mean, they're magnificent. They don't lead America in everything just because they're good-looking guys. I mean, they're talented. However, depending on what statistic you look at, they're anywhere from 108th to 118th out of 130 in defense. And I like to think that Alabama, ranking 6th, 7th in most categories in America, can put points up. So, you know, I had a guy, I was doing an interview the other day, and the guy said, Eli, are you a betting man? I said, no, I'm not. I said, I've never bet on sports. He said, well, if you know anybody, take the over. I said, well, thank you very much. That was an Einstein-like statement. But, you know, there are people, I read an article, people are being over 100 points to be put up on the board. I don't see that. I see Bama scoring, certainly not at will, because the OU defense improved, and they've made some really good plays down the stretch. But I just, maybe because I've just seen every snap of every game, I see Alabama winning because they can put points up against that defense, and even though they might give some points up, who knows? I've got to think Bama can do more damage against the OU defense than the OU offense can do against the Tide's defense.
In fact, Texas got stopped against Oklahoma, so it's not like it's an impossibility. But, you know, you probably would see it.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a great game.
Should. As he should. And again, he has seen every snap. And I do say that the statistics, I bet you, and I haven't broken them down yet, but I guess if you take the defensive stats over the last handful of games for Oklahoma, they are a whole heck of a lot better, in large part, than the entire season snapshot. So they have improved, and they've made some nice stops down the stretch. I just happen to like Bama because, like I say, if for no other reason, I've seen every snap, every play. I know what the team can do, and that's if nothing else, that's just kind of shades your your look at it because of familiarity, if nothing else.
Absolutely. Eli, you know it's always a pleasure. I don't get a chance to talk to you often enough, and
no,
I appreciate the time
often.
You have today.
It's great to be on with you, Steve, and I know things are going well for you. Continued success, and thanks for having me on.
Eli Gold, just down the street from us here. I'm in downtown Tuscaloosa. He's in the burbs. He is one of the best. And, you know, a couple quick notes about Eli. Eli is a huge hockey fan. He used to be a Rangers season ticket holder in New York. Eli's a New Yorker. And, of course, you know what he did with NASCAR for years. But Eli and I have talked before. When I've talked to him before, you know, I do football, basketball, I do baseball. And Eli has done football. He did basketball for years. And now he also does some stuff, some softball, some baseball as well. We both agree that changing of seasons and changing of sports allows us to stay fresh and on top of our respective games. We've talked about that. We both are in complete agreement on that. All right, John McClain, the great one, next half hour from Houston Chronicle. Manny Machado, by the way, walked into Citizens Bank Park today. Okay, construction worker was inside the ballpark and yelled over at him, "Take the money." We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
It's holiday time, and there's only one place you need to go. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury. Brewers Outlet has all of your holiday party needs. Soda, snacks, lottery tickets, the pickle bar, and of course, beer. The area's largest selection of imports, specialties, microbrews, and many of your favorite domestics. This week's specials, Bud and Bud Light 18-pack cans, just $10.88. That's $3.63 a six-pack. And Labatt 28-pack bottles, $18.95. And the ultimate holiday present, a Brewers Outlet gift card. Merry Christmas from Brewers Outlet Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone back to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Nittany Lion basketball team won at Duquesne in Pittsburgh last night. We flew overnight here to Tuscaloosa. Next stop on the trail is tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time at Coleman Coliseum. We're on beginning at 8:30, then off a week until Penn State will play UMBC in the Jordan Center on the 29th, and then off to Orlando, and Jack Hamm and I will have the Citrus Bowl on the 1st, and then from there I go to Detroit to go to Penn State Michigan basketball in Ann Arbor. So happy holidays at a busy time of the year. Get very pleased to bring in somebody who truly, I mean, he doesn't accept it, but it's true. He is a legend in what he does, and he's given us a lot of time over the years. John McClain. John, welcome. It is great to have you with us on the show again.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And I'm guessing you're getting a little warmer weather in Tuscaloosa.
Absolutely. It's a lot warmer here than it was in Pittsburgh. And congratulations to you, John, on being one of the four Baylor 2019 Distinguished Alumni Award winners. I'm sure that's mean a lot to you.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was taken aback, I think, of all the Baylor alums around the world doing a lot of good stuff, and they take an old sports writer slash talk show guest, and it's an unbelievable honor. And thank you very much for recognizing it.
Well, and here's the other part, too. As you know, my football broadcast partner is Jack Hamm, but my broadcast partner for basketball is Dick Girardi, and he said, remind John of the filming of Secretariat.
I remember one of my favorite times. We did it in Lexington at the stables there and got to pose. I actually got to pose with a lot of actors in the movie, but I was only interested in Diane Lane. And I had my people at the Chronicle crop out everybody in our picture but she and I. And I told everybody, she and I hung out on the set together, and the guys were so envious.
And they should have been, and that was well done. That is a veteran move by you. Okay. Let's get to the Texans here. It's interesting. I was talking, Bill O'Brien came back to State College in April, and I had a long talk with him. And we're talking about Deshaun Watson. And he was going on about all the great things that he has seen Watson accomplish. Now there's another season's worth of body of work from him. When you watch Watson, John, what are you seeing?
First of all, last season when he got hurt in practice in a non-contact drill and blew out his ACL, everybody was devastated. But the reason the Texans were 4-12, O'Brien's only losing record, they had 23 players on injured reserve, including 13 starters. And it was key players like Watson and J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless. And it was just, I've never seen a team have injuries like that. So expectations weren't that high. And it took Watson a little time to get his timing back. They lost their first three at New England by 7, at Tennessee by 3, and against the Giants here by 5. And then they won 9 in a row. They won 10 of 11. And the thing that's been remarkable about Watson, he has not thrown an interception in 7 of the last 8 games. He's 9 for the season, 24 touchdowns, 104 rating. The bad thing is he leads the league in being sacked 52 times. And their offensive line is terrible. And Bill O'Brien, their GM, Brian Gain, will find a way to protect their most valuable asset, assuming he's still alive. With they got a 1 and 2 2s and a lot of cap money, but when you've got a guy like him in a line that is as porous as it is, you've got to do everything you can to maximize protecting him, and I think that's what they'll do. And considering he's been under pressure on 41% of his dropbacks, by far the most in the league, according to Pro Football Focus, what he's accomplished is pretty remarkable.
It is remarkable. And what does it tell you about him as a player and as a winner about the bus trip he was really forced to take to and from, I believe it was Jacksonville, just to play the game?
They were 0-3. They beat Indianapolis 37-34 in overtime in Indy, and he threw for 385 yards and outdueled Andrew Luck. In the next game, they come back against the Cowboys, beat them in overtime, and he throws for 375, but he got sacked 7 times and knocked down 12 times, suffered a partially collapsed lung, a broken rib, and a bruised sternum. Now, I've had a bruised rib, and I was ready to go on the disabled list.
Yeah.
And when they played that next game at Jacksonville, and they told him you cannot fly with a partially collapsed lung for at least 2 or 3 weeks, so if you're going to play, you're going to have to ride there, but we'll give you the option of staying home, which would have meant playing Brandon Whedon, or you can drive. He said, Coach, I'm playing. So they got him a luxury coach. We should all be this lucky, Steve. They got his massage person. They got the strength and rehab guy. They got a cook. They had 2 drivers. Everything you want. J.J. Watt said the players were begging him to get to ride back with him. And so they go there, and they won by, I think it was like 23-7. At the time, we didn't know Jacksonville was going to be so bad. So that was an impressive victory. The only play Deshaun Watson has missed this year, Steve, was he thought the half was over with the defense on the field, so he took off to the dressing room. The offense had to run back on the field for 1 snap, and Brandon Whedon got his 1 snap. And another stat about Watson, he has engineered 5 come-from-behind victories in the fourth quarter or overtime this season, tying Drew Brees for the most in the league. And I think anybody that saw him in college, especially in the championship game that they won over Alabama, would not be surprised by that.
Not in the least. Now, a lot of fans, obviously, in Pittsburgh love Antonio Brown, and justifiably so. You get to see DeAndre Hopkins every game. When you see DeAndre Hopkins, based on your experience, John, what are you seeing, and what does he mean to Watson?
DeAndre has only missed one game in 6 years despite getting double-teamed on every play. He doesn't have great speed like Antonio Brown. That's one reason the Texans got him at the bottom of the first round in 2013. But he has incredible hands. He has an unbelievable catch radius. And whatever they target him, Bill O'Brien always says, well, we should have targeted him 10 more times. And he has tremendous hands and concentration, strong hands, doesn't have a drop pass this year, and has, let's see, 94 catches, 1,321 yards, 11 touchdowns. And in winning touchdown against the Jets Sunday, Steve, Mo Claiborne could not have covered him any better. And he caught the pass that was thrown perfectly back shoulder by Watson. And I'm almost, it sounds crazy, and it is, but I'm almost like to see him miss one than I would some other guys catch one, because his misses are more exciting.
I understand what you mean by that. Now you look at the defense. You talk about the injuries, getting Watt back and so forth. Watt's been able to play the full season. So what's the domino effect meant for Clowney, but what's the domino effect meant for the back seven having J.J. Watt back?
This is the first time Watt and Clowney played a season together. They both have been injured at the same time the other one was healthy, and both of them are starting in the Pro Bowl. Watt has 14.5 sacks. Clowney has 8. The Texans have been great against the run, but going back to halftime against Cleveland, and they won by like 2 touchdowns, but Baker Mayfield threw for 351 yards in the second half. In the next game, Andrew Luck threw for 399, and Sam Darnold, a rookie for the Jets, threw for 256. So all of a sudden, their corners couldn't cover you and I, which is their second right. biggest need to offensive tackle. The things that Texans were doing great, running the ball in their, at the end of their nine-game, through their nine-game winning streak in the first three, they were third in the league in rushing, averaging 140 yards. In the winning streak, they averaged 146, and in the last 6 games before that winning streak ended against Indianapolis, they were averaging 172 yards a game rushing. In the last 2, they're averaging 68, so all of a sudden, defenses, the Colts and the Jets, discovered something about their offensive line and tight ends, and they've obliterated them. And the leading rusher in the last 2 games has been Watson, and, of course, that is alarming because he takes so many hits as it is. Right. So the 2 things they've done well, run the ball and cover, they can't do either one. So it's so much pressure on Watt and Clowney to try to get after Nick Foles, disrupt his timing with his receivers, because if he gets any time, he's going to have a lot of completions, because right now, for whatever reason, they can't cover. It's the corners and not the safeties.
You look at the Eagles, what do you think of them at this moment compared to what you've watched all season from them?
Well, I'm stunned that they won at the Rams, even though Foles won there last year. And I thought the Rams would bounce back. I'm picking the Eagles to win this game, and the reason is I think their defensive line will blow up this offensive line, force Watson to throw. Well, Watson, they'll get to him, they'll sack him, they'll hit him, and even though he'll come back for more, I think the Texans will shut down the Eagles' run, and it'll come down to which line can protect the quarterback better and let him make throws down the field. Foles likes to go down the field, so does Watson. It's amazing that Watson lost his fastest receiver, Will Fuller, who had caught 11 touchdown passes in 11 games with Watson. And wow. yet, of all the full-time starting quarterbacks, with no speed, Watson is third in the NFL behind Rivers and Mahomes' average yards per attempt. Now, that's something Foles was always good at. So I think it's going to come down to which team can protect the quarterback the best.
John, an absolute pleasure. Congratulations on your great honor from Baylor. It's well-deserved, and we thank you always for the time you give us.
Steve, thank you very much, and travel safe and have fun in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you, John. Happy holidays to you and your family. We will come back with more in a moment and wrap things up here in Tuscaloosa here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. Oh, my goodness. Great to have you with us. It's great to know Joe Portelli's in the building. He's trying to straighten out problems somebody else created. Who might that be? Do we know?
Don't look at me. No, no.
It's not either one of us.
Uh-uh.
Nope. Well, I think I just heard somebody slam their fist on that. So funny.
Joe knows whose fault it is. He knows, don't you?
He does. And keep it classy, Joe. Keep it classy. Keep it classy, Joe. Oh, okay.
Like,
Troy,
like he's been the engineer here for years,
right? Yes. I mean, here's one for you. Joe actually puts out the fire. Okay. We got one today from Troy. Troy was at the game last night, and Troy asked a really good question. Of course, I have to go find the question. Here we go. Was the first technical against Coach Dan Brott applied any quicker or slower than it should have been in your view? Did he deserve to yell and scream without being teed up? These are really good questions. First of all, sometimes you come in with a reputation, and remember, what did I say on the show yesterday in previewing the game? And I said Coach Dan Brott has what?
Been known to have a little bit of a temper. Yes.
Right. And so when it happened, first of all, Dick and I looked over and thought Lamar had used his off arm. And then we looked at the replay, and he actually steps, right, plants and steps, slides dramatically to the right. Now, why is Lamar doing that? Lamar is doing that to avoid contact and avoid a charge. So he's already sliding that way. And so the Duquesne player, in order to get... Because Lamar is sliding, he starts moving, and he never even gets close to where he needs to be because Lamar went that far to the right to avoid him. So the Duquesne player never even got close to even being in a spot that would do anything except disrupt the play, which Lamar missed the shot. But because of what Lamar did, it's absolutely a blocking foul. I mean, there's just no getting around it. It's absolutely a blocking foul. Because Lamar went and dramatically moved to get out of the way of contact to do that by sliding and moving to his right, which then caused the Duquesne player to move, and the Duquesne player never got himself even to the spot he had to be in because of what Lamar did. Dan Brott, now, when it came to the technical, he's going crazy, and Dick and I, Troy, said on the broadcast, he's right at the edge now of getting one, and then, boom, he got it. About, I'd say, 2 seconds after I said that. And that's because through experience, you just know, first of all, he's out on the court. He's at midcourt. You're trying to give him a little bit of rope. The one part I don't know, Troy, which you probably know better than I do, TK. I mean, TK, you probably know this better than I do because being behind the bench, you could probably hear Dan Brott. With the headsets on, I can't hear what Dan Brott was saying, TK. Okay? So you might be able to know better than I did what he said. Once he got teed on the first, and I thought Brian waited a little bit, but also there was a point where I saw Brian standing there, Brian Dorsey, And I saw Dan Brott out in the midcourt being grabbed by his coaches trying to be restrained originally. All right. And I said, he's to the verge of getting a technical about 2 seconds after this. Said that, just about 2 seconds. Boom, Brian gave him the technical. So it was in my judgment on experience that he had crossed the line. It was going to be a question of how much rope Brian Dorsey would give him, and he gave him 2 more seconds. And so, yeah, he did earn what he got. Now, the second one, we knew he would get the second one. I mean, the second one just became an automatic. But, yeah, it went about as far as I thought it would before they gave him the tee, because he just went too far. And he went too far, it turned out, TK, on a call that wasn't the right call. I mean, I'm talking about it was the right call. He was wrong about arguing the call. I mean, I understand he's fighting for his players. I got that. But then we watched the replay. It's not even close to being a bad call. It's not even close. And that becomes the big problem when it turns out that the call is not even close to what you think it is. That is an issue. And that's why he ended up, you know. So, yeah, that's a really good question. You know, did the official tee him up too quickly? Okay, especially when the game's that close. Excellent question, TK. And in sitting there in real time, and again, based on experience, based on my judgment and so forth, I did say in the broadcast, he's right to the edge of getting one right now. And 2 seconds later, he got it. So I think the reason the technical happened is not because of Brian Dorsey. The reason the technical happened is because of Keith Danbrot. He took it way too far. You know, and again, this will fall under the category of, I've done a lot of games in my career, almost 1,100 of them. We're getting close to that mark. And I took another step closer last night to seeing it all. How about that? I took one step closer last night to seeing it all. So, TK, I hope that answers your question, okay? At least in my judgment as to what I saw, I hope that answers your question. Back in Tuscaloosa tomorrow, Jason Kendall, the former Pirates catcher, will be speaking at the First Pitch Dinner along with the Kings Pitch tomorrow.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.